And if you've got a Bible, I'm going to read from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, and read some verses 8, 9, and 10. So the New Testament, book of Ephesians chapter 2, commencing at verse 8. Let's listen to God's word. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Now we are sending a church team to Africa. The purpose of these six men taking some time off work, heading out there, is to do some hard manual work. Going to be drilling water wells, as we've been seeing and hearing about. But let me ask this question. Is that really a mission team? Going to Africa to drill wells, is that a mission team? Because non-Christians could go out and do exactly the same thing. In fact, there are humanitarian teams, non-Christian humanitarian teams, who go to Africa and places around the world and drill wells so people can have clean water. Should our church really be involved in a team like this? Should this be a priority? Because the real mission of the church is gospel proclamation, isn't it? Isn't that what Christ said in the Great Commission? Go into all the world, preach, proclaim the gospel, make disciples. Really, as a church, that should be our ultimate priority, proclamation and making disciples. What is this team doing? Doesn't seem to square up with that kind of proclamation. These men won't be proclaiming the gospel. In fact, none of them actually speak the language. You could say that what these six men are doing could be described with this phrase here. Good works. Drilling wells. So what place do good works have in the life of Christians, believers, and a local church like our own? That's what we want to spend some time thinking about this morning. Now, obviously, good works can't save anybody. That's what makes Christianity different from all the other religions in the world. There are thousands of religions in the world, and there's something that makes Christianity different from all the rest. And you could spell it this way. All the religions of the world spell it D-O, do. This is what you've got to do to earn favor with your deity, whoever your deity is. Do this, do this, do that, and you may win divine favor. Biblical Christianity is spelled completely differently. Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E, done. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, what did he cry out? It is finished. It's done. It's complete. There is nothing we can do for our salvation. And we've read about that in Ephesians 2. It said, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Thankfully, my salvation, your salvation, if you're a Christian here this morning, is not based on your performance. Because if my salvation depended on my good works, the amount that I did, I would fall so far short of the standards of a holy God. Many people, though, do have the wrong understanding. Many people have the wrong image. They have this sort of set of scales in their mind. Your good works, the things that you do, your humanitarian work, your charity work, all these good things, if they outweigh your bad, maybe you will get right with God. No. It's not what the Bible teaches. Ephesians 2, it says it is a gift of God, something completely undeserved. It's by grace. You don't deserve it. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you have this kind of false thinking in your mind. You're trying to build up credit by the things that you do, coming to church, maybe giving to the appeals that we make here. Now, going to Africa, drilling wells for 2 weeks, that must earn you bumper points if you're working along that kind of mindset. But it's not what the Bible teaches. When it comes to salvation, God is not interested in our good works. He's only interested if we have faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. There's an old hymn, Rock of Ages, and one of the lines in that hymn says, nothing in my hands I bring, only to the cross I cling. That's the gospel. When we come to God, we bring nothing. Look, God, look what I've done. No, nothing. Because none of it's good enough. Simply to the cross we cling and to his gift that he's made, a gift he's made available through his son, Jesus Christ. We've been thinking recently about the Reformation, the 500th anniversary. And the Reformation was just people coming back to the truths of Scripture, these great truths that we're saved by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And maybe this morning you've got that wrong kind of mindset. You think it's down to your performance, your good works. This morning I would say, come. Come to Christ with nothing in your hands and simply receive his glorious gift of salvation that's possible through his Son. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross of Jesus Christ you need to cling. Now, does that mean that God is not interested in good works? Does that mean as Christians we can forget about them? There's no need to send a team because there's no real point. Absolutely not, because we need to read on in Ephesians 2. So we've had these verses 8 and 9, say we're not saved by our works. And then verse 10 says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works don't save us. Good works don't earn us favor with God. But once we are saved, once you are genuinely a Christian, our lives should be full of good works. Our lives should be full of the good works that God has already prepared beforehand for us. And this morning, as we think about this whole topic, I want to look at three reasons. Three reasons why we want to send a team 3,000 miles to Africa to drill water wells. But we also want to think this morning, because only six of our congregation are going to Africa, we want to think about the rest of us who are believers. Why our lives should be full of good works. Here's the first thing we want to think about. We should do good works as an act of obedience. We've been reading this morning in Ephesians. The book before that is the letter to the Galatians. And the letter to the Galatians is all about the gospel. Paul wrote that letter because there was a false gospel that had come into the church there in Galatia. False teachers had infiltrated the church, and they were teaching another gospel. They were emphasizing good works, works of the law. If you want to be justified in the sight of God, you need to do these certain things. And Paul writes a really strong letter explaining what the true gospel is, that it's by faith alone in Christ Jesus. And he's really strong in his language. He says, if anybody preaches another gospel, if anybody preaches this gospel where you need to do good works or works of the law to get right with God, let them be accursed. He's really strong as he sets out this defense of what the true gospel is. But it doesn't mean that we ignore good works in the life of a believer. In fact, the complete opposite is true. And so at the end of the book of Galatians, in the last chapter, chapter 6, Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes these words, and let us not grow weary of doing good. That's what he writes to your local church. Let us not grow weary of doing good. It is a clear instruction of Scripture to believers. Don't get tired of doing good. Sometimes we do get tired. I've done enough. I've gone the extra mile so many times to help that person or to do this. We'll leave it to somebody else. Now, what does he say to the local church? Do not grow weary of doing good. Don't stop doing good works. He even tells us who we should help as we go on into the next verse, verse 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those of the household of faith. It's a very inclusive list, isn't it? You see that key word in the middle? Everyone. Let us do good to everyone. Now, there's nearly 7 billion people living on this planet. Obviously, we cannot help all 7 billion people, but there's another key phrase, as we have opportunity. As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. As you go about your daily life, situations will appear. You will have opportunities in your home to bless people by doing good to them. On your street, as you mix with your neighbors, there will be opportunities to do good to everyone. In your workplace, as you live as a Christian, as a believer in the place that God has placed you, there will be opportunities to do good to everyone as you come across. And what does the Bible say to us as we do that? As we live our lives as Christians doing good, do not grow weary of doing good. Sometimes we're made aware of very specific needs, like a shortage of running water in Burkina Faso. We have six men who have an opportunity. An opportunity has been made available. That's been made available because we have a church missionary who has helped to organize this team. And so we have men who have an opportunity to do good to everyone in those villages as they go out. And so we as a church want to support this team as they take an opportunity to do good. Now, there's an important ending to the verse, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, that's a reference to the church, the household of faith. Our good works are not limited. We are told to do good to everyone. But as we do good, we have a special priority. And that special priority is given to fellow Christians, members of the household of faith. There's an old saying which says, charity begins at home. Charity begins in the family. Good works start in the church. Good works start with our spiritual family. Perhaps in this congregation there's an elderly member who needs a lift to church. Could you help doing that? Tommy Thompson is always looking for help, helping people just to be part of our church family. Don't grow weary in doing good. Perhaps you could prepare a meal for somebody who's been in hospital or have lost a loved one. Maybe as our team go out on Saturday, could you offer some help to those wives who are like single mothers for 2 weeks? Maybe offer a lift, pick up kids from school. Maybe drop a meal round. Maybe you could invite one of the wives out for a coffee just to give them adult conversation when the kids are at school. Let's not grow weary of doing good. Now, this church is full of people who are continually doing good and blessing people. The vast majority of it is unseen. But can I encourage you, do not grow weary of doing good. We have also a responsibility to help the household of faith around the world, not just here in our local locality in Carrickfergus. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are all across the world. And as we have opportunity, we should not grow weary in doing good. Let me give you one example. In June of this year, Dave Ramsey headed out to South Peru in his role with the Baptist Association. He headed out with Mervyn Scott, our mission director. And as he headed out, we give him a gift from this church. The office bearers give him a gift. That's what we do. We collect an offering on a Sunday morning. We use that offering to support the work here in this church, but also all around the world as well. And so we give Dave a gift to take out and to use his discretion to use that to be a blessing to the household of faith in southern Peru. Dave sent me an email this week just to show me how that money has been spent over the last couple of months. When Dave was out in Peru, he met this couple here, Elizario and Esther Vargas. Some of you will recognize them because they were in Northern Ireland in May for the Peru 90 celebrations. And in May, Esther and Elizario actually came to our church. They spoke at our Wednesday night prayer meeting, and we had a great night as they shared with us about their ministry in Peru. Dave spent some time with them out in their house there. Elizario is a pastor of a local church. He's also the president of the Association of Baptist Churches there in southern Peru. And they have a little flat above their church building. And when Dave was in their house, he discovered, well, they did have running water, so we don't need to send our team out with their drill to give them running water. But they had no hot water. And it was winter time, so southern hemisphere country. And they had no hot water, they had no bath, and they had no shower in the house, and they had three small children. And when Dave was with them, the three small children were just full of the cold, totally miserable. No heat in the house, couldn't give them a warm bath. And Dave said, well, there's an opportunity to use the gift from Carrickfergus Baptist. He really used that alongside some gifts from some other churches and to give it to this family to support the household of faith. And they were able to take our money and they put a solar panel on the roof of the church, a flat where they are, to heat their water, able to get a plumber in and put some hot water. And as the photograph came through this week, they have for the first time a bath with hot water, shower attachment above it, just to give their kids a warm bath. It's practical work. It's good works. But what is it? It's blessing the household of faith. People on the other side of the world serving God who don't have things that we take for granted in our own homes as well. What does the Bible say? Don't grow weary especially to the household of faith. And when we do good works, what are we doing? We are actually obeying Scripture. Let's move on quickly. A second reason we should do good works, because Christ has changed this. When we become a Christian, good works are not done out of duty, but they should be done out of a heart of love and a heart of compassion for people in need. As followers of Christ, who is our greatest example? Christ himself. Now, when Christ lived here on earth, his ministry focused on proclamation. He taught about his ministry, he taught about why he came, he taught about the kingdom of God, but his ministry was also dominated by great acts of kindness, great acts of compassion, and great acts of mercy as he helped the poor, as he cared for the sick, and as he fed the hungry as well. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ and be somebody who says that Christ has changed your life and avoid good works. Let me say it again. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ and avoid good works. In fact, good works and goodness is evidence that you are truly converted. When Christ Jesus changes somebody, the Holy Spirit indwells your heart and your life. And the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian is to make us more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And a true believer will start to show the fruit of the Spirit. That fruit of the Spirit, which is evidence that you are a genuine believer. Let's think about some of that fruit as it's outlined in Galatians 5. This is what we should see in the lives of people who have been changed by Jesus Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This isn't a lucky dip where you pick some of these things. All these nine fruit of the Spirit should be an evidence of somebody who's a genuine believer. I've highlighted some of them in red. Love and kindness and goodness, all displayed in our good works. Someone who claims to be a Christian but has no love, no compassion, no kindness, no goodness, no desire to help those around them, they are not truly converted. Because what did Christ Jesus say himself? By their fruit you shall know them. You shall know it by the way that they live their lives. We're not saved by doing good works, but the good works that we do are evidence that our lives have been changed. And then thirdly and finally, we do good works to help share our faith. When we do good works, we often win a hearing for the gospel. That's what happens in Burkina. And as these gents go out and they serve, they drill these wells, what happens? A crowd gathers round. And local pastors who can speak the language will take those opportunities to share. Why have these men come? Why are they drilling wells and sharing their faith and the hope that they have in Christ Jesus? And we pray that happens, that the six men in the team see that happen. They will see crowds gather and that Christ will be shared as a result of the work that they do in these villages. So the ultimate desire of serving others is that they would come to share our faith as well. Jesus Christ said these words, "Let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." They may see your good works, and that might speak to them, and through your good works, they too might come to know the Father and might come to glorify him with their life as well. Now, some might question the motives of this point. It might seem a little bit insincere. It might seem a little bit underhand. Is it a means to an end? You're only doing these good works, you can gather a crowd, you can then preach at them. Is that genuine? But the desire to share our faith should come from the same heart, one of love and care and compassion. When this team goes to Burkina, they want to help people. Water is essential for life. Clean water is essential for our quality of life. But what is the greatest need of the people in these villages? It's not clean water. Their greatest need is to know the one who is the living water, who can truly satisfy, Christ himself. The one who gives not just physical life, but who can give eternal life. And as Christians, we should help people's physical needs. We should do that through our good works. But if we truly love and care for people, we want to meet their greatest need. We want to meet their spiritual need. We want to meet their eternal need. We have the greatest gift, Jesus Christ. We have the greatest gift that meets the greatest need. And how can you say you love and care for somebody and hold the greatest gift back? You want to share Christ with people. See, lots of humanitarian agencies could go to Burkina and drill wells. But only Christians can share the living water with the people in these villages. Humanitarians can give them life, physical life. Christians can give them the water that will lead to eternal life. And often our good works will provide great opportunities to share the one who has changed us. So let's go back to the original question I posed. Should our church send a practical team out to drill water wells? Absolutely. So Gavin and Adam and Mark, Craig, Mark and Richard, as you go, you are being obedient to Scripture. Do not grow weary of doing good works. You're also displaying your faith. You're displaying your faith in the one who changed you. And your good works will provide great opportunities for local pastors to share Christ in these villages. It's good to do good works, isn't it? It's good to do good works. So let's support them as they go. Let's pray for them as they go. We can't all go to Burkina. It's not practical. It's not suitable. It's not necessary. But if you're a Christian here this morning, our lives should also be marked by good works. Not for salvation, but because Christ has changed our life. And as we finish this morning, let's meditate upon this verse here. Let's take a few moments, and then we'll pray. And let us not grow weary of doing good. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you we're saved not by the good things that we do, because it would never be good enough, but we thank you that Jesus came to be our Savior and offer us the greatest gift, eternal life. And for those of us who have received that great gift, we pray you would fill us with the Holy Spirit, their lives would be marked by love and kindness and goodness. May it be displayed in our good works. May we, as individuals and as a church, never grow weary of doing good. May we do good for everyone as we have opportunity, and we may especially do it for the household of faith. Bless us and equip us to live for you, to serve you, and that people help us to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good deeds, our good works, and they might glorify our Father in heaven. Bless the team as they go, and we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.